Are you happy now?
Yes. Because you did what you were supposed to do.
An hour ago?
Yes. That is the Friday music. Welcome into the game. Hour two. Mitch has departed. Corey has departed. The cast of the show is dropping like flies.
Did I not tell you that I'm leaving after the second segment this hour? You're going to do the entire show yourself, including my job.
We are really hobbling to the finish line, which is maybe fitting given what's going on with K-State basketball at the moment.
That is, wow. Well,
I mean, it's not wrong.
Good job.
But anyway. Wait,
where's that?
What, the ding? Oh, thank you. All right, so in this hour, we're going to talk about K-State basketball taking on Texas tomorrow down in Austin. We'll have a full rundown of all of the Big 12 action. It is a jam-packed slate of games, five games taking place tomorrow, including some important ones for the bubble teams in the Big 12. We'll have You Can't Be Serious to finish off the show. We'll be joined once again by Dave Donnert with MHS Wrestling, an update from regional wrestling down in Hutchinson. A great story about K-State running back Alex Barnes. You will not want to miss that. It'll bring a smile to your face as the week comes to a conclusion. Also, an update on the KU football recruiting class that was getting huge headlines over the last couple weeks as it climbed into the top 10 in the country. That is no longer the case after a couple of, I would say, very predictable decommitments from that class. If you want to give us a call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. Also, if you missed anything from the first hour, want to give us a listen on the podcast, newsradiokman.com, under the on-demand tab. That will be posted as soon as we are done here. K-State takes on Texas tomorrow in Austin in a game that is way more important than what it looks like on paper. I mean, you just look at the matchup, you see, okay, 16-10 K-State, 10-16 Texas. It's going to be in a half-full at best arena. You wouldn't think that there would be a lot to potentially come out of this game, but I think that it is very important for K-State and for Bruce Weber in particular, as his seat has been continuing to warm over the course of this conference season. And it's finally reached a point after losing to Iowa State earlier this week that you've got, I would say, the majority of K-State fans that are at the very least open to the possibility of a change at the head coaching position. We're still a ways away from anything literally happening with that. I mean, I don't think the K-State, even if things continued to spiral, would make any change before the end of the season. But what happens tomorrow could very well determine how things are going to play out over the final couple weeks of the regular season. If K-State wins this game, they're not going to gain a whole lot from it, but it will, in my mind, keep the belief alive that this team can finish strong and get to the NCAA tournament. They would be 6-8 in Big 12 play at that point, and they would probably need to go 3-1 over their final four to get into the tournament. 2-2 would keep the window open, but they would likely need to help themselves out in the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. You wouldn't really want to put yourself in that position. So probably 3-1 is what they would need if they were to win this one. But if they lose this one, then you are basically completely back against the wall. Your RPI would really take a hit at that point. And I just really don't know what K-State would have left in the tank, both physically and mentally, if they were to lose this one, which would mean being 1-7 over their last eight games. That one win, of course, at Baylor, which is great, but when you combine it with seven losses, it really, really does not help. It would put you behind the eight ball and behind a lot of bubble teams that are playing a lot better basketball right now. I mean, K-State and Oklahoma State have a very similar resume, very similar record, but Oklahoma State is 5-1 over their last six games. There's a difference there, and the committee will want to take teams that are playing well at the moment. Let's open up the phone lines, 537-1350, 866-776-1350, talking to George from Manhattan. What's going on, George?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Just fine. How are you today?
I'm not too bad. Hey, good. I agree with you about the old basketball team. Bruce either's got to get his head out of his you-know-what, or he's not going to stay around. I mean, we can't start out last seven games, the first 10 minutes of every game, like we're not even interested in the ball game. And that has to be coaching. You know, what else could not have our guys have any fire in their souls at all?
Yeah, well,
in the old cliche, Bill Snyder used to always say, "You can't get up to play 13 games. You can't get up to play 28 games as a college player. Something's wrong with you." You know, and so we got to figure that out. If we have time to figure it out, I have no idea. And I'll answer off and let you talk about it after I'm done. But what was that recruiting thing you were talking about, top 10? I work in Kansas City, so I miss out on your show a lot.
Oh, well, Kansas football, not K-State, but Kansas football is currently ranked in the top 10 recruiting for next year because they had picked up a bunch of four-star commitments out of Louisiana, but a couple of those guys have since decommitted. And, of course, we're still 11 and a half months away from signing day 2018, so it's been in the news a little bit.
Okay. Well, I just want to touch on the Bruce Weber thing. I just wish we'd hired Brad Underwood a long time ago when we had the chance, opportunity. We got players. We just can't get them to play right and play together and play smart and have play with energy. That's just the whole thing with me. I can't take that. We come home, we get to Iowa State, and looks like we're not even interested in the ballgame. What the heck's up with that, guys? I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you, George. Thanks for the phone call. Don't be a stranger. You know, I talked about this a little bit yesterday as far as K-State not being ready to play. In my mind, and it's probably more complicated than this, and of course I don't come at it with the experience of having played college basketball or anything like that, but the basic way that I look at it is that it is the player's job to be ready to play. But if they are not, it is the coach's job to recognize that and push the buttons that are necessary to get them fired up and get them playing well. And so K-State, you know, taking the floor, not ready to play, maybe that's a little bit more on the players. But it taking as long as it did against Iowa State and in some of the other games earlier this season, including in Ames against Iowa State, it taking that long to get the trend reversed, that would fall more on the coaching, in my opinion. It may be a lot more complicated than that, but for people that ask me who that falls on, I think that it goes both ways, and there's plenty of blame to go around. As far as Bruce Weber's job status, I mean, and you heard there from George, there are more and more fans that are feeling that way that have been Bruce Weber defenders from day one of him being here. And it's just getting more and more difficult to maintain that. And it's not so much that K-State doesn't have a team that's capable of doing good things, because clearly they do. But at a certain point, you have to realize that this is year five, and you should not have to go through some of these rebuilding years in year five. I mean, coming into this year, K-State being picked ninth in the Big 12, it's one thing if you use Brad Underwood as an example. It's one thing if it's Oklahoma State in year one of Brad Underwood getting picked ninth. It's very different if it's year five of Bruce Weber being picked ninth. So K-State was not in a good position coming in. They do have quite a bit of talent. They do have the talent of a Sweet 16 team in my mind. I just don't know if they have the intangibles of a Sweet 16 team, talking about the depth, talking about quality coaching, quality preparation for the games, everything like that. Those answers are not going to come in the next 24 hours as K-State plays Texas and Austin. Those are big picture issues. But talking specifically about this game in Austin, K-State needs to win it, and they honestly need to look impressive doing it to try to reverse the trend and get things headed in the right direction. Because as I mentioned, K-State does need to win at least four more games, I think, to get into the NCAA tournament. Where those wins come from, up for debate a little bit. You could have some of those in the Big 12 tournament, but in any case, K-State needs to get to the 20-win mark if they are going to go dancing this season. Going to head to our first break of the second hour. When we come back, as I mentioned a little bit in this segment, an update on that top 10 KU football recruiting class. John and I had debated on how significant that was. I said that it didn't really move the needle much for me at all, because I didn't think they'd be able to hold on to a lot of those guys. I honestly, I mean, this has turned around a lot quicker than I would have expected, but we will update you on that. And remember, stay with us for a great story on K-State running back Alex Barnes that's going to be coming your way later in the hour. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.